Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, and today's episode is all about, does our food talk to us? Now, before you're starting to think that I've gone off the deep end and I'm a little woo-woo on you, hear me out. Food has the ability to communicate with our cells. And it's kind of cool because we've now started to really gain traction in the research in this arena. I mean, technically, it's been happening for 20 years, but we're really looking at something called microRNA. And we're looking at it more in targeted treatments for cancer, but I'd like to take a look at it in terms of ways to predict our health statuses, but also how we can tell if our diets are benefiting us or not. So let's go to basics. What is microRNA? MicroRNA is a cell fragment that literally is going to prevent the production of a particular protein. So all of our cells make proteins. That's how they communicate whether we're going to heal particular tissue or whether we're going to tell a cell to divide or whether we're going to tell a cell to die. And so this particular microRNA, what it's going to do is it's going to prevent the production of certain proteins by binding to them and destroying that message. So basically blocking the message. So what happens is that if we have these microRNA bound to messages that came from the inside of our cells for a specific task, well, now these messages are inactive. They can't do anything. And in the case of cancer prevention, this is huge if these message proteins are promoting new growth of blood vessels to tumors. They're beneficial if we're working to prevent cell division of cancer cells. That's a big deal. We want to be able to block that. And so that's why microRNA is really popular in the treatment of cancer now and all the hot research. So let's back up a second because you might be like, okay, what the heck's RNA? RNA is really that messenger. It is ribonucleic acid, if you want to really geek out. That is the long term for RNA. And it's literally a messenger that has instructions from your DNA. So inside every single one of your cells, you have DNA in the nucleus. And the RNA is what carries the information out of the nucleus to the cell to tell it to do something. And what's cool about the microRNA is that it can stop a certain thing from happening. Now, why would you think this would be a good idea? Because you might be thinking, well, that sounds dumb. You don't want to block things. Well, in the case of virus overtaking of our cells, viruses can hijack our nucleus and create their own RNA, which is wild. And this could be beneficial in the case for having upregulated microRNA of certain types to block these lovely cells from doing damage to ourselves. The other thing that's important with microRNA is that it can manipulate our immune system. And by that, I mean our immune system in the autoimmune realm is on hyper alert. And it usually happens because of a deficiency of our built-in innate immunity. And it happens because cells start to die and we have protein fragments that shouldn't be in our bloodstream coming in our bloodstream, and our body starts to attack our own self proteins. Now, like I said before, microRNA goes after proteins. And so what I'm getting at here, without getting way too technical, is that microRNA can help us in the prevention of over attacking in the autoimmune universe. It could also help us for implications in terms of when your immune system goes on the fritz and allows for tumors to grow. This microRNA can be a suppressor of tumor formation. So something to think about. All right, let's move forward in terms of what we can do with these microRNAs. Right now, I'm pretty excited about them because I'm thinking, wow, we could predict them. We can use them as predictive biomarkers. And what does that mean? We can assess how healthy we are, or the diagnosis or prognosis, so how bad is a particular condition. There's a ton of research on type 2 diabetes and cancer related to microRNA. So a little background there, which is kind of crazy and cool. Now, specific dietary environmental factors can alter our microRNA. And this goes back to my thought and on a lot of my podcasts talking about lifestyle, diet, environment, and how that affects our microRNA. And today I'm going to go into some research that shows how certain foods and spices and lifestyle choices affect your microRNA. So this tiny ribonucleic acid, this microRNA, there's lots of them out there. And so I'm just going to go through a few that I've picked and choose just to kind of chat through a little bit more detail how certain foods can communicate with our cells so that the food can talk to us. So broccoli, for example, it has a microRNA number 159. And researchers have found that higher amounts of the microRNA 159 can inhibit breast cancer, which is crazy because what it's doing is upregulating our white blood cells to kill the cancer. In particular, it's working on natural killer cells. And those are cells that are, boom, there to go on attack when something isn't right. So that's pretty cool. And that's broccoli. How cool is that? Most of us can get a hold of broccoli pretty easy and eat it. So something to think about, reasons why broccoli should be in your diet. Now, more research has found that another microRNA known as 2910 is upregulated. So in general, in fruit, when someone eats a lot of fruits and vegetables. And so that's a general type of microRNA increase. But I find it interesting because it's been linked to really prevent cancer development pathways, such as a pathway called the JAK-STAT, which sounds kind of crazy, but it is a pathway that is known to promote cancer in the body. And this microRNA 2910 can stop it, and it comes in fruits and veggies. And that's just in general. And the way the study was performed was it was taken from individuals that reported how much fruits and veggies they were consuming on a regular basis. So pretty interesting stuff. Now, before you're thinking, okay, she's telling me all this stuff and I don't know where the background's coming from this, there are a ton of research studies that I have referenced for the information that I obtained for this podcast. They are on my podcast notes at docjkrausnd.com. So if you want to geek out to the max, I've got lots of research articles for you for this podcast. So if you are up with the research and you want to take a look at this stuff, go ahead. I have referenced all of my sources for you so that you can see where I'm coming from on this. So of course, if I'm talking about microRNA 2910 in particular in the fruits and veggies, and that being increased, one would probably lend to think, oh, well, a vegan or vegetarian diet would be beneficial to prevent cancer. And of course, it's being touted as that. And yes, most of the research does show that having more fruits and vegetables in your diet prevents cancer. But there's some research that kind of poses some questions to that too, and kind of twists it a little bit, because yes, I've just mentioned fruits and vegetables can increase one of the microRNAs for protecting us from cancer. But we've also found that there are microRNAs such as 92A that is a cancer-promoting microRNA, and it's increased in folks who follow a vegan diet compared to those who are vegetarian or omnivores. So what the heck? What's the problem there? Well, if I have to kind of think it through and look at it, I'm suspecting that it has to do with levels of minerals. Because unfortunately, the one problem with the vegan diet, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you should stop eating fruits and vegetables. I'm not saying that people should not be vegan. All I'm saying is that our food is not as rich in vitamins and nutrients as it used to be. We have poor soil. And so this is an issue. And it's something to be really taken into account for all of us, whether you're an omnivore, whether you're vegetarian or a vegan, or you're eating paleo or keto or what, who cares, whatever diet you're adhering to. One of the things to think about here is, are you getting in the nutrients that you need? That is why I do recommend a whole foods based mineral supplement. So something to keep in mind, in particular, nutrient deficiencies such as zinc, B12, those things go along with being vegan. Zinc in particular is related to a upregulation of some cancer-forming microRNA. So that's a problem. And that could be quite possibly why this microRNA 92A is upregulated in vegans. It could be that we're missing some of the crucial nutrients to be able to put that in check. So something to think about when we go into the realm of avoiding certain food groups. I will admit, I'm a naturopath. I've put people on crazy diets. I've put myself on crazy diets to see what would happen obviously I'm not experimenting with my patients, but to see if that helps them. And a lot of times the problem is that exclusive diets, we're missing key nutrients. Grain-free diets, we're missing B vitamins. B12 is in animal meats, zinc, animal meats, nuts, seeds, and sometimes we need these things. And if we're not getting it from our supplementation with whole foods vitamins, then we got to really think about the choices that we're making in terms of these particular diets and making sure that if you're going to avoid something because you don't feel good eating it, or you have moral, you know, thought process on why you don't eat something, hey, that's fine, but make sure you're getting in what you might be missing on those levels. So interestingly enough, that MIR, so this is microRNA 92A, that was found to be lower in the vegans and elevated higher in the vegans. I just messed that up. MicroRNA 92A was higher in vegans and lower in vegetarians and omnivores, has been related to tumor development and cardiovascular disease. And that seems weird because we talk all about vegan diets and vegetarian diets helping with cardiovascular disease. So clearly there is something happening in terms of nutrient poor food. Keep that in mind. And the studies on microRNA 92A have been done on stool testing. And so we're looking very in connection with colorectal cancer in particular, which is a cancer that's been known for years to be more related to processed meats and things of that nature. But oddly enough, the microRNA 92A is lower in folks who eat meat and fish. So there's something going on there. It's also lower in folks who eat cheese. It's increased in folks who eat bread and pasta. So what's the component there? I can't help but think that the microRNA 92A being increased in the processed food intake makes sense in terms of our processed foods are devoid of nutrients, and even the ones that we fortify with, half of us can't even process it. So my thought there is that eating closest to nature is king here, and keeping that in mind. So where am I going with this? I want to tell you the most benefit, though, from microRNAs really is in the herb and spice world, the phytonutrients. I've talked about turmeric before on my podcast. I've talked about berberine in particular. And these are huge components of helping produce microRNA to protect cancer. And really, turmeric's one, resveratrol, another big one, quercetin, another big antioxidant. And I'm going to go through that with you to kind of give you a sense of, maybe we might be lacking minerals, but maybe we're lacking high quality antioxidants too. And thinking beyond the box between blueberries and berries in the antioxidant world, I'm talking targeted antioxidants that we can add in our diet in terms of herbs or spices. So MIR, so microRNA 21, this is increased in veggie consumption, but it's also increased in berberine. Berberines are a mix of golden seal, barberry, gold thread, Oregon grapefruit, turmeric, and philodendron root. These are all hugely important in helping to block cancer development, but also they have been found to help with preimplantation of the embryo, so fertility. And so interestingly enough, I never thought about folks needing turmeric or philodendron or any of the berberines for fertility, but now I'm starting to think, could this be of benefit in terms of folks who commonly miscarry? So just something to think about in that case. Now, another microRNA that is related to weekly consumption of fruit is super cancer protective. In fact, it's been studied mostly in association with a variety of cancer types, but the progression, so the cell division and the migration of the cancer, so the metastases. And so this is a biggie with microRNA 34, this guy in terms of fruit. And a lot of us are avoiding fruit because we're thinking that it's, you know, it's not paleo, it's too high carb. Don't avoid the fruit, just limit. I mean, 5 pieces of fruit a day might be a little much. 2 cups or 2 pieces of fruit a day, probably a little bit more in the realm of being okay. I'd much rather have people eating fruit than eating processed carbs or processed protein bars and things that are, quote, paleo. Not to knock the paleo, it's just something that I hear a lot at my gym because, of course, we talk a lot about low carb and protein supplementation and all that stuff. So something to think about. All right, so alcohol consumption. So here, let's move into some lifestyle stuff for a second, and then I'm going to jump to another antioxidant. Alcohol consumption. We think about alcohol, especially wine, in terms of resveratrol. And you'd have to drink a ton of wine to get the amount of resveratrol that would be in an herbal supplement. That's just the way it goes. I'd much rather have people taking a supplement to get their resveratrol than drinking alcohol. And the reason is a couplefold. But let's talk about it in terms of what happens with alcohol. So interestingly enough, microRNA 92A, the one that I mentioned before, associated with vegans and being elevated with vegans. And so it's a non-protective microRNA for cancer development. But in the case of microRNA 92A, it is expressed in lower amounts when you drink alcohol. So this could be the anti-inflammatory effect that we've been talking about for years in terms of your one glass of wine a day. However, it kind of cancels itself out because microRNA 21 is a protective microRNA, and that's less expressed in alcohol consumption. So there's this balance a little bit. Now, going back to resveratrol, let's jump into that a second. It's found to decrease colon cancer because it downregulates tumor-inducing signals using microRNA 663. Now, grape skin, wine, berries, there's a lot of other resources of resveratrol, and typically an herbal supplement that has resveratrol in it is going to be the way you want to get this antioxidant. There's an antioxidant component called Vitanox, which is quite possibly my favorite in terms of options on the market for getting antioxidant support, because it has all the quercetin, the resveratrol, it has turmeric in it. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's a great it has everything to help keep you healthy for life, is my theory right now, especially based on this microRNA stuff. And Vitanox is made by MediHerb out of Australia and sold in the US via standard process. So I've talked about that company. I'm not getting any money from them. I'm just telling you the way it is in terms of the best product that I've found to help with antioxidant levels. Until I can get a company that tests microRNA status for me, which hopefully might be on the horizon for testing the status of your overall health and predicting, are you going to develop cancer? I mean, that would be really cool if we can get that happening. And I know it's going to probably be a possibility here in the future. We'll see. But it's something that I think about. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about our antioxidants / phytonutrients. Curcumin, turmeric, I've talked about this over and over again. Curcumin is the extract from the turmeric root. And turmeric, aka curcumin, is amazing in a lot of different levels. But what it does is it can favor signaling cells to die before they become necrotic. Now, what does that mean? So natural cell death happens all day, every day. All of us have cells dying right now. Sounds doom and gloom, but it's happening. But that's programmed. We want our cells to die so that we can get new cells created and have new, healthier cells and repair. And turmeric helps cells that are on their way out, older cells die, before we get to this case of necrosis. Necrosis is cell death, but it's a disease state of cell death where proteins inside your cell and your DNA in particular might end up in the bloodstream and cause an immune system reaction. You do not want proteins from your cells in your bloodstream because that's going to send a message to your body that it's a foreign protein. It's going to behave like a foreign protein. Let's put it this way. We don't want, our body is programmed to attack self cells that self proteins that end up in the bloodstream. And because we don't want those proteins to get to, let's say, from the heart to the liver, because now we might have heart cells growing on the liver. It's a protective mechanism. However, it happens when we have cell and tissue death happening at an abnormal rate in our bodies. And so what happens with turmeric is it blocks this necrosis factor and induces normal cell death so that we're not getting our own proteins into the bloodstream to set us up for autoimmune conditions. And so turmeric is amazing with that, and it works on modifying the microRNA 21, the same one that's increased with fruits and vegetables. MicroRNA 15 and 16 are also associated with turmeric. It affects those expression of those two, and microRNA 16 is also increased with increased consumption of fruits and vegetables. Now, another antioxidant, quercetin. I use quercetin a lot for itching and rashes and lots of histamines in the body, but it has been found to also work to de-inflame the body. And it works on the NF-kappa B, which is a white cell immune system mediator, and hugely important in decreasing factors known to be overexpressed in colon cancer. And so actually the research shows resveratrol and quercetin to help to prevent colon cancer. So something to think about in this case of these antioxidants and their effect on the body. Another big one, mangosteen. I think mangosteen had a good run about 10 or so years ago when it seemed like everybody was drinking the little bottles of mangosteen juice, but it works much like turmeric or curcumin in the effect of helping the body to kill cells that are sick and are old versus letting them become dead tissue where the proteins get into the bloodstream and cause autoimmune conditions. So something to think about at this point. You know, mangosteen had a good run, but you know, they all have their abilities, and so I think it's worth it to take those into account. All right, so those are the main antioxidants. There's also effects with fish oil. Fish oil and pectin, pectin's high in our apples, and in particular green apples, leads to an upregulation of a certain amount of microRNA, which literally prevents tumor cells from forming. So fish oil and apple pectin can prevent tumors from forming. And we found that link to microRNA 19, microRNA 26, and microRNA 203, which is super cool. Vitamin D, microRNA 22, found to prevent cancer cells from dividing and spreading. Another point here in terms of making sure you've got your vitamin D, your fish oil, etc. Now, walnuts and spinach. Both those guys have also been found to block inflammation, so that's irritation in the body, new blood vessel formation to tumors, and division of tumors. And in particular, it's been studied a lot in terms of the colon. And there's some cases in which spinach has been found to possibly reverse colon cancer. Now, that's kind of crazy. So also another bonus in terms of eating your walnuts and your spinach. Popeye was not wrong. He had it right, even back in the day. So spinach, get that sucker in. In fact, I'm going to go make myself a smoothie right after this with some spinach in it because I need to do that. Just need to. Feeling like I need to work on that cancer prevention today. All right, so diet-induced obesity. We have found that there's some microRNA related to that as well. So crazy. MicroRNA 155 and 196 in particular, these guys are upregulated in colon cancer, but these are upregulated in folks who followed a high-carb, high-fat, the standard American style of diet. And in particular, microRNA 155 have found to been increased with red meat. That's pretty crazy. And in particular, this study was done on rectal mucosal tissue. So that is your tissue, like literally mucosal tissue. That's the tissue inside your mouth. That's the tissue in your nose. That's the tissue all the way down your gut. It's considered mucosal tissue. And so that is looking at right an effect right on the tissue with red meat. Crazy stuff. So am I saying don't eat red meat? No. I'm saying keep it in check and perhaps get your antioxidants in. And that might be a way to balance out the microRNA expression in the body. Now, another crazy thing is microRNA 222 has been found to affect colorectal cancer and cancer in particular, in addition to drug resistance and the spreading of cancer. And that one's higher when body mass index is higher. So another big factor there. Also, microRNA 222 has been found to promote non-small cell lung cancer. And so that's another biggie because non-small cell lung cancer is hard to treat. And if you can keep your weight in check, you can keep your metabolism working up to speed and eating a balanced diet, it's huge. It goes a long way for preventing cancer. So something to keep in mind here. Now, another interesting component is with age. Our microRNA that's protective, like microRNA 16 and 34, these guys have been related to lowering our ability to develop cancer. So we want microRNA 16 and 34 because they help protect us from cancer. But those levels decrease over time with age. And so that's why we get age-related cancers and things of that nature. However, microRNA 16 is related to veggie intake, and microRNA 34 is also related to fruits and veggie intake. And so the big takeaway here is why I'm constantly telling folks 6 to 8 cups of veggies a day on the minimum. You can go up to 10 if you want to, but you don't want to forget about your veggies when you're jumping into a restricted diet or just in general when you're looking at a balanced diet. I really support a balanced diet versus restriction of certain food groups, but the idea here is to keep in mind that the veggies do have a protective component for us, not just in the short term, but as we age. So they're almost like an anti-aging tonic of sorts. So something to also keep in mind. Now, another crazy thing is the microRNA related to fitness. So VO2 max is a measurable factor of your physical fitness. And folks that have low VO2 max have been associated with levels of microRNA 151 and increased levels of microRNA 29A. Now, 151 would be lower, and increased levels of microRNA 29A and microRNA 125. So what does that mean? Well, if we have lower levels of microRNA 151, that is related to folks being less fit, but also related to increased activity in tumor formation. So being physically fit protects you from cancer. In females, there was another level of the microRNA that was found, microRNA 21, which is related to increased veggie consumption. So in ladies, it might even be more important to have more vegetables than even the guys. So crucial component here is if you're fit, that's great, and you're working out and you're doing things, but you got to get your veggies in. Moral of the story, get your veggies in. But the other cool part about this in terms of looking at these levels, we can look, if we had the ability, which we don't yet, and I'm hoping it comes out because I'm kind of psyched about being able to study people's microRNA levels, we could determine like, hey, you're not so physically fit and your levels of protective microRNA are low. That means we really have to work on you to prevent cancer. So kind of cool. So right now, can we fine tune our microRNA? Well, as of right now, because we can't test it, it's hard to say. However, I've got a lot of research here. And like I said before, go over to docjkrausnd.com to grab my links to all the research that I use to create this podcast, because it'll give you some really good sense of like, what factors can you change in your life to be able to do the best you can to prevent cancer? I wish there were some studies on microRNA and stress, environmental stress, work stress, life stress. There are none out there that I could find. If anyone does know of them, please comment on my website. Please comment after my podcast notes. I would love to hear about it. I'm up for any and as much information as possible here. But the big factor as we age is really trying to keep ourselves physically fit, aging well, and cancer-free, because the statistics on cancer just keep growing, and I'd love to keep people cancer-free. And if it comes down to it, boy, because both my mom and my aunt died of breast cancer, you better believe it, I am getting in some antioxidants, and I'm eating my veggies like a champ in addition to my fruit, just to see what I can do, as well as keeping myself as physically fit as possible. So if nothing else from this podcast, I really recommend looking into a herbally based antioxidant product, not a synthetic, an herbally based antioxidant product from quality companies such as Gaia Herbs or even MediHerb in particular, sold by Standard Process here in the US, because these herbal companies are huge in terms of their ability to put the greatest products that are antioxidant status boosting together and can help you support what you're not getting from your fruits and veggies. Because like I said before, we need antioxidants. We need something a little stronger than the fruits and veggies. Not that I think the fruits and veggies are bad. We just need a little extra boost. One, because our soil is poor. And so there's that. But also two, because our food degrades over time because we don't know how many miles our lettuce has traveled to get to us. And so phytonutrient density in antioxidants helps support us in our quest to be healthy, but the minerals, whole foods minerals, such as trace minerals by Standard Process, can be a very important addition for anyone who's vegan and vegetarian and wants to counter some of the deficiencies that might result as of being vegan or vegetarian. For the rest of us out there who have tried going gluten-free, who have tried going all these grain-free, all these different diets, do I think that being gluten-free is beneficial? Yes, especially in the case of Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and in the case of us not being able to digest the gluten that we have. But I don't think that being grain-free is a useful component. It's just being able to digest the grains better, sprouting the grains, pressure cooking the grains so they're cooked down for you. Same thing with legumes. Same thing with all of our beans, lentils, etc. Just make them more digestible so you can absorb it and they don't sit on the gut lining to irritate it. I think that's the main problem with the grains and legumes out there. Totally respect all the folks that have written the books Wheat Belly and all of that, and Against the Grain. It's just that I think we're being a little too restrictive. And in terms of those folks who are doing pure keto and things of that nature, just embrace your low-carb veggies. Make sure you're getting the veggies in and some antioxidants to help counter the effects of the ketogenic and also the paleo style of diets. And really think about how many fruits and veggies you're getting in a day, because it really does make a difference. And our microRNA is starting to show how the consumption of fruits and veggies impacts our body and how it communicates with us to prevent cancer and keep us aging well for life. So there you have it. You have survived another episode of The Health Fix. If you want to geek out on info, this is the action-packed info episode. Head over to docjkrausnd.com and start clicking on all my resources and enjoy. And please, if you are wondering about a certain, if you got a question, a burning question, you want to know something from me, you want to know what I see in practice, shoot me an email. I love to hear from folks. I love to answer questions on the podcast or in emails, and give me something to do. I need more from you guys. Alrighty. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.